right. That clock is actually 12 minutes slow, so we're starting a minute late, and I apologize for that, but it's going to call to order the West Lafayette Community School Corporation regular meeting, Board of School Trustees. Today is Monday, April the 5th. It is 6:31, at least that's what my clock, my phone says, 6:31 p.m., and welcome and thank you all for coming. I'm going to first move for the approval of the agenda of tonight's meeting, the regular board of the school trustees. Need a motion, please. Moved by Mrs. Austin.
Second.
Second by Mr. Schott. All in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Approval of the minutes of the March 1st, 2021 regular meeting of the Board of School Trustees. Need a motion, please.
Move approval.
Moved by Dr. Springer.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Witt. Discussion, any corrections made over the process? Okay, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Communication from the audience, current agenda items, I have one, but it's for a non-agenda item. So we'll wait for that spot to be spoken later in the meeting. Unfinished business, I have none. Academic achievement and student recognition, and Shelby, the floor is yours. And I think I need to step up too, right? So.
Okay, this time we'd like to recognize our Westside Way to Go Award winners. So this award was created to recognize students who have exemplified what it means to be a good citizen, which is basic to our school district's mission. So each school every month nominates three students through their teachers and administrators, and then we recognize you here today. So what I ask, we'll start at the high school. So when you come up to receive your award, they'll explain a little bit about why you were recognized tonight, and then if you can stay so we can get a picture with all three of you. Okay, Mr. Schreiner?
Okay, thank you, and a lot of fun. Now our first award winner is actually not here tonight because he's working, and that's a good reason to be gone. Owen Taylor is a senior at the junior senior high school. And the comments that I have, by the way, are from teachers for all of the honorees tonight. And in Owen's case, Owen's described as a great peer leader. He comes to visit our class during lunch and his homeroom hour just to spend time with the students. He always has a positive attitude and is great at getting his peers to stay happy. Owen sees a need and fills it without being asked. He brings fun and laughter to our classroom, and all of our students love him. He goes out of his way to connect with each student and visits during his free time during the day. He's a great role model and shows his peers positive social interactions. Owen is respectful to the teachers and has positive relationships with everyone in the building that he comes into contact with. So everybody who knows Owen, be sure to tell him that great things were said about him. So we congratulate Owen. Another of our honorees tonight, is eighth grader David Curl. So David, come on up. And thanks for being here. And David is just an outstanding West Lafayette student athlete. He absolutely gives his best effort each and every day. And what stands out most about David, according to our staff members, is not his determination to be the best academically and athletically, but it's his desire to do what's right, even when no one is watching. David shows respect to all, including peers, teachers, friends, coaches, everybody really around the school. It's obvious that his peers respect David as a leader, and the best part about David is that he truly embraces this leadership role, and he wants to make a difference here in our school. We're lucky to have David, and I'm thankful that we have the opportunity to teach David this past year. This comes from your teachers, and we're grateful that for everything that you do. So congratulations. Okay. Next, we're excited to recognize another senior, Kenny. Kenny Allen, if you'd come up. Long time no see. Kenny is virtual learning right now. Kenny's teachers describe him as having a kind heart and takes time to help out others when he sees someone is feeling down. One example is when actually a teacher recently lost a parent, and Kenny was aware of that and went out of his way to check in on this teacher. He also wants to assist peers so they can learn as much as possible. As a virtual learner, Kenny asks for help when needed and shows up for meetings. And that's a big deal, being a virtual learner. We appreciate the effort with that. One of his teachers had met him that day, and he was in the car going to Chicago, but he still kept the appointment. So that's a great example of somebody who's dedicated and not saying, oh, I can't reach you right now, I'm in the car. Kenny is also a very good visual artist and has been kind enough to share his paintings with some of the staff members, even when he has been a virtual learner. So thanks for staying connected so much, Kenny, as you've been through this year.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome. I'd like to first start today with Zoe DeFord. Could you come up, Zoe? Zoe's a fourth grader in Mrs. McConnell's class. Zoe's a student who comes to school every day with a positive attitude and a kind heart. She genuinely loves to learn, even when topics are difficult. Zoe wants to help others and has been caught doing the right thing when she thinks no one is watching. Nice trend I see there. Her teacher has observed her asking students to play at recess when she notices they are left out or sitting alone. She has a positive impact on the school with her cup full mentality, dedication to learning, and inclusivity. Zoe is an excellent choice for this award, and we congratulate you. Teron Cooper, come on up. This year, Teron has put in great effort and made strides in his academics. He walks into school each morning with a smile on his face, a positive attitude, and is ready to learn. He is persistent in his work and wants to do well. When he does not understand, he is not ashamed to ask for help. So far this year, he has shown tremendous growth in academics, and he has shown great pride in his work. One of the best parts of his teacher's day is when he thanks her for teaching him and helping him at the end of each day. Congratulations, Teron. Jorge Reyes, come on up. And I failed to say Mrs. Reichert is Teron's teacher. I'm so sorry, Mrs. Reichert. Thank you for helping him. Teron's teacher is Mr. Harmon. He's a sixth grader in our school. This young man is always grateful and never complains. He works hard and has improved his grades dramatically. He has a wonderful personality and is kind to others. He is kind to his sister and encourages her academically. We are very proud of him and the young man he has become. And my understanding is you're also very good at beating Mr. Harmon with Frisbee, is that right? Yes. Congratulations.
Thank you. am very excited to celebrate three of our students from West Lafayette Elementary School. We're going to start with our third grader, Anna. Come on up. Anna Fajardo Arenas. Yes. Been practicing. Anna came here at the start of the school year from Bucaramanga, Colombia. Anna works very hard, earning high marks in every area of study in one of West Lafayette Elementary School's e-learning programs. She has now come on site, and we're excited that she is joining us, while at the same time working really hard to learn English. Anna is very driven, kind, gentle, and a thoughtful person. She is appreciated by her classmates and all those with whom she comes in contact with throughout the day. As Anna's teacher at the time, Mr. Stahl, he is proud to nominate her as a person who exemplifies the good in all of us. I am inspired by her commitment to always do and try her very best. Anna. We have a second grader, Meenakshi Chavla. Meenakshi is a great citizen in the classroom and in the community. She comes to class with a smile every single day, gives her very best effort, and always supports her classmates. Meenakshi has gone above and beyond in her e-learning class this year by being a bucket filler, making homemade gifts and cards for everyone in the class, including me. I got a homemade gift. And donating art to a local nursing home so people do not feel so lonely during this year. On Valentine's weekend, she made and passed out over 200 cookies for people in her neighborhood to share some extra joy. She is an excellent example of RDP. And last, we have a first grader, Miss Julian Spurlock. JJ is an exceptional friend to others. She stood up for another student in a different classroom when that student was being picked on by peers. She told them to stop, and she comforted that student. She then helped give that student courage to tell an adult. She received a high five, which is what we work for at West Lafayette Elementary School to earn high fives for doing great things. She received a high five card from the supervisor that day, but I think she should be rewarded even more for making such an amazing choice. She is such a great human and works so hard. She loves every person she comes in contact with, and they love being around her. JJ Spurlock.
Thank you all. Thank you. I appreciate the inspiration and of all the our students and their accomplishments. Moving on to staff recognition, and Dr. Killian, you are next.
Thank you, Mr. Carpet. This year has been very challenging on many fronts.
As I expressed in a communique several weeks ago to our parents and to our staff, I believe that this year has been nothing short of remarkable. I truly believe that this year has been one of the best years of work and professionalism given by our teachers, staff, administration, and school board. It does not go unnoticed what everyone has done to keep our students safe, to keep our staff safe during this pandemic. One of the things that we're truly blessed to have in our school district, we're blessed to have the funding to have a registered nurse at every school. We're one of the few school districts in the state that actually has a registered nurse at every school. We're also fortunate to have the employment of two medical doctors as our corporation physicians. Tonight, we would like to honor our registered nurses and corporation physicians. Throughout the year, they have worked with our administration, with our teachers, with our staff, working tirelessly in helping us keep our students, staff, and school districts safe. So we want to honor and recognize them today. So I would like Mr. Karpik and Dr. Taggart to come up to the table. And we would like to honor our West Lafayette Elementary School registered nurse, Nicole Waycamp. Nicole, thank you for your valuable service to our school district during this pandemic. Is Nicole here? Okay, we will make sure that we get her plaques. You can stay right there, Dr. Taggart. Dr. Taggart, stay right there. Yep, I'm gonna keep you guys up front. I would like to have Margaret Pissaros to join Dr. Taggart and Mr. Karpik. We'd like to honor our two registered nurses at the West Lafayette Intermediate School. First, Beth Bangs. Beth, thank you very much for your invaluable service to our school district during the pandemic. And Beth, feel free to stay up here because we want to get a group. We want to get a group picture. We'd also like to honor our registered nurse, Chris Anderson. Chris, thank you very much for your valuable service. And I'd like Ron Schreiner to join Mrs. Pissaros, Dr. Taggart, and Mr. Karpik. We'd like to honor our junior senior high school registered nurse, Amanda Holderly. Amanda, I can't tell you how grateful I am for all of the coordination and everything that you've done in our school district during this pandemic. Thank you very much for your invaluable service. Okay, look forward. We're going to get a picture and then we're going to keep you all here because we are going to add two more. Well, one more at least. They have received a plaque and a gift card from our parent council. So thank very much our parent council for the gift card.
Thank you.
Stay put. We got. I want you to stay put. We'd like to also honor our corporation physicians, Dr. Anne Marie Biancully and Dr. Chet Ho. Our corporation physicians, Dr. Biancully and Dr. Ho. Thank you very much for your invaluable service. And get in line there. We'll take a picture with Anne Marie.
More pictures.
So just to give you all an idea what would happen here, Dr. Ho, Dr. Biancully would be in contact with our nurses, our registered nurses, and our corporation physicians would be in contact with administration. And quite often we were spending weekends trace contacting, trying to figure out who needed to be quarantined. It took hours and hours and hours and hours, and these people have given above and beyond the call of duty, and I think they deserve a lot more than what we're giving. Give them another round of applause. Thank you guys very, very much.
I will also say that though you are all welcome to stay through the rest of this meeting, the honorees, you do not have to. In fact, I recommend that you go on and enjoy the rest of the day. But not. Not that you don't want, but thank you all. We also, I've always wanted to do this as a non-teacher. If you want to, why are you all sitting in the back? You're all welcome to move to the front if you want, or you can stay right where you are, so it's up to you.
There you go.
We'll move on to academic achievement and special education services, and I'll start with Dr. Killian.
Thank you, Mr. Karpik. As you know, we are in decentralization mode with the GLASS. We've been working on it the last 3 or 4 years. And we're moving into the next phase. And I do appreciate Shelby Johnson, our Director of Special Education, who continues to help us make that transition. And we're now in our next step as we decentralize. I'm going to have her make a presentation to you about essential skills and behavioralist positions.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I think my proposal is in front of you all. To give you a little background story, as Dr. Killian explained, we're in the process of decentralizing. We're trying to work with TSC and LSC to figure out a seat cost. So for a number of years, we shared these programs. Starting last year, the programs went back to the school district, which housed them. For us, that meant that we encumbered the junior, senior high school has an essential skills classroom that services students that are grade 6 through 12. So that's now our West Side program. Our students from K to 6 continue to be serviced in LSC and TSC. This year, it was free, no charge, to kind of grandfather in those students. Starting next year, there'll be a cost for LSC and TSC to continue to provide services to our students. We've been working out what that cost and what that seat cost or rate should look like. The problem is LSC and TSC are not going to create a new section of these classes if they were to get full. So they're welcome. They will welcome our students as long as there is room. However, as soon as they reach capacity, they will no longer accept our students, and they will not open an additional program to take our students. So as the director, I feel like we've reached this crossroads where we can continue to take the gamble and hope that they have openings. But if it were to reach December and we get a move-in of 5 or 6 kids that need this sort of programming, I can't guarantee they're going to have a place to go. So that concerns me. I can't sit before you and say that this maybe is the most fiscally responsible decision, given the fact that probably paying seats is cheaper than opening our own program. However, I can tell you that this is what's best for our kids. These are our students who have been serviced by other programs and other school corporations for as long, I've been here for 21 years, and they've always been serviced someplace else. For some of these students, it means being on a different calendar than their brother or sister. For some of these little girls, I went to visit a student as I was trying to prepare for this proposal. I went to Hershey Elementary, and one of our second grade students was sitting there, and she rode the bus for 45 minutes just to get to school that day. And she has a 45-minute bus ride to get home. If this child were to get sick, the parent has to drive out to Hershey to get their child. So what I'm proposing is that we open our own essential skills classroom, which will service kindergarten through sixth grade. It will be housed at the elementary school. That will be phase one. At some point, we will also need to talk about opening our own self-contained ED classroom. That's not on the proposal for tonight. That would be down the road. What I am proposing to help be maybe step one in that process are behavior facilitators. Those are individuals, TSC and LSC already employ them. They are BCBA trained. Hopefully they will take some of the weight off of our teachers. And the goal here is to keep those students with more significant mental and behavioral disabilities in-house. So our hope is these behavior facilitators can work with these students, give them the time and the attention that they need so that we don't end up needing a place in a self-contained classroom.
Can we talk a little bit about the APC dollars and
sure.
Moving of APC dollars back to West Lafayette schools?
Correct. So right now we see the same funding as all schools. However, with special ed, there's also an additional funding for APC. So I put this spreadsheet on there for most of the students that are in essential skills. It's an additional 9,000 plus, and it goes based on what their disability is. So there is additional funding. Special ed will always be underfunded. I can't stress that enough. Like, it's just the fact that it's just a matter of the game we play. The state and the federal government will never give us enough to recoup. However, there are additional costs that are attached to those students to help offset that price.
Okay. I need a motion, please, and then we'll go on to questioning.
Moved by
Mrs. Witt.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Austin. Discussion, questions, etc.
Shelby, Rachel? I just need a refresher. I know that those students may not necessarily end at grade 12, or there may be an extended period. How long does that funding run? To what age? When do they age out of the program?
At 22. So okay. At the junior, senior high school, we actually have two students that will are 21, that next year will be their last year receiving services. So they age out at 22. So it really is a significant amount of time sometimes that they're within our high school program. If they transfer over at seventh grade, they're there till they hit 22.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Other questions or comments, thoughts?
I think this is a great change. I'm really excited that we're gonna be able to take care of our kids in-house. I think that's super.
Yeah, thanks, yeah. I agree.
I think all of what you've gone through historically with GLASS and the things that have needed to be brought under your not control, but emphasis is, I think, is a step, really a large step in the right direction as well. I appreciate all your efforts.
Well, if it weren't for Shelby and Tracy, our special education program would be floundering at this point, and they've really worked hard to help us decentralize and get the programming in that will help our students, help our teachers, both in gen ed and special ed. And so I'm excited where we're going, and we have a lot of work yet to do, but I think this is a step in the right direction.
Brad, I'm sorry.
Yeah, just to clarify, did I see $144,000 coming back to us from GLASS?
I think that was the cost.
Yeah, the anticipated
amount.
That's
what I saw, Brad.
Yeah.
One.
Okay, I just want to make sure we got that out there. That's a significant number that's coming back to help with these needed resources.
Oh, right, correct. Part of the decentralization means that less of our funds go to pay for GLASS for the programs, and it comes back to us. Another thing to consider is I'm hoping to have space. So similar to what we're doing now, right now we're buying seats or getting seats from TSC and LSE. LSE is full. I mean, they are brimmed to the max. So my goal is, if we open this program and I have seats available, I'm going to be open and taking them. So right now at the junior senior high school, I actually have two LSE students. Starting next year, we will receive LSE funds for servicing those two students. My goal would be to continue that relationship. We work, the three directors, well together to continue to help each other provide what's best for kids. And if what's best for kids is for them to be with us, I'm not gonna turn a child away.
Okay, any other questions, comments? Okay, motion on the table. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Hearing none, that motion carries. One question on that. The next issue coming down the road, how long from a time frame standpoint do you see that?
So the behavior facilitators will be kind of step one in that process. However, at some point, the last deal in regards to having programming for all of our students would be a self-contained, what's called right now, emotionally disabled classroom. However, I would change the name because really we need to service kids that have other disabilities within that classroom, but a behavioral classroom. So the behavior facilitators are step one, which would be next year, and then throughout the next year, we would look to see what our numbers and needs are, and then that would be the next step.
Okay, great.
At that point, we would have all the programs to serve all of our kids.
Great, thank you. And to be clear, the motion did carry, as I interrupted my own self, but thank you.
That's
thank
okay.
you, Shelby, very much. Appreciate it. We'll move to academic achievement review of West Lafayette Community School Corporation strategic plan, and Dr. Killian, the floor is yours.
Yes, I wanted just to give some historical information about our strategic plan. Back in 2010, we held our first strategic plan where a group of patrons, stakeholders, a large group, came together for 3 days, led by Dr. Janet Emmerich, who's a Cambridge strategic facilitator, and we put together our mission, our belief statements, action steps, and we used that strategic plan over a 7-year period to help us drive some decisions. Did we accomplish everything? No, we did not. But if you accomplish everything, then you might as well just quit planning, because you got to keep going and trying to improve. So there were things that worked, there were things we need to improve upon, there were things we didn't get to. So about every 7 years, we work on trying to upgrade our strategic plan. So in 2017, we did that again. Part of the strategic plan in 2010 and in 2017 has to do with finances, has to do with academic programming, has to do more so in 2010 with our facilities. For instance, one of the things that we were all interested in back in 2010 was trying to create a way in which we would
put into our schedule the performing arts during the school day, because our kids were coming to Happy Hollow early in the morning before school just to be a part of orchestra and band. And so we had to have the facilities in order to accomplish that. And if you came in here with orchestra or band and choir, it was pretty tight, and we couldn't get it to work during the school day. So when we built the intermediate school, we ensured we had band, choir, orchestra rooms. So we created a building, a facility that could help us accommodate what we wanted to do in strategic plan and change the schedule. That's a little bit likened to what you're going to hear with Mr. Ulrich, Mrs. Sheffield, and Mrs. Johnson about the high school schedule. It's much like what we're doing with glass. Glass was invented, I think, in the mid-70s. And since the mid-70s, this system has operated. And at some point, you have to look at it and say, is it working? Are there things that we can do better? So with glass, it's painful. It's painful what we're having to do to decentralize, to figure out how the funding works, how to bring on additional staff and with limited resources. We are going to eventually have our own special education program, but it was a system that was developed in the early to mid-70s, which I would now call an archaic type of funding system, in which no one could really explain, even to this day, how the funding system formula worked between TSC, LSC, and West Lafayette schools. I tend to believe that we pay more into glass than the benefits over a long period of time just because of the funding formula that was developed in the 70s. So I'm just sharing all of this with you because the strategic plan helps drive improvement. Will we get to everything in our current strategic plan? Probably not. The pandemic has slowed us down. You need resources to do a lot of the things that our Reimagining West Lafayette Schools Committee came up with. But some of the things we can do is part of what this presentation is about, helping our kids that need academic assistance, getting ready for the new graduation requirements, making sure we focus on equity. I mean, there's all kinds of conversations that we can have, and there are pros and cons to everything within a schedule. So it's I would say there's no perfect schedule out there, as we know with the reopening plan. However, I do think that over the last year and a half, in looking at the strategic plan, looking at the reimagining committee that put together the action steps for the 2000 strategic plan, this is an offshoot of that, much like what we did with the intermediate school and putting the performing arts back into the school day, because now we have the facility to do so. We now have great facilities at our high school to accommodate a lot more than what we were doing prior to the improvements of the cafe and the improvements of the cafeteria and improvements of the facility. So I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Ulrich, Mrs. Sheffield, and Mrs. Johnson.
Good evening, everyone. Sorry to disappoint you, but you get me instead for the first few minutes. So.
Sorry about that.
No problem. So as Dr. Killian said, he provided kind of a review of really several years worth of strategic planning, and I won't go through the whole presentation again with regard to how our school day study committee came together to really put together and discuss the many qualities of an ideal schedule and run through that process again. COVID forced our hand this year with regard to a schedule, but we spent considerable time this year, and we're actually ready, as many of you know, at the March board meeting to bring this schedule to you. And at that time, it was decided that perhaps we could run through some more discussions, speak to some different groups, keep people informed, make sure that everyone is aware of what is going on and what is being discussed here with our school day study committee. In this process, since January of this year, as this went through, we've heard from 12 families. We know we've obviously had a lot of discussions with teachers and students and student councils, parent councils, but we've heard directly from 12 students. We actually, in the last month, since the last month's board meeting, we've heard from five families. So we heard from seven families before the March board meeting, and we've heard from five families since that meeting. Sometimes that discussion is a simple, you know, they send an email, we make a phone call, we try and have a conversation. Sometimes Eric and I have spent an hour plus on Zoom and having some discussions with parents. We put information, this schedule, we put it out on the website, provided an FAQ page, link there to try and run through many of the questions. I don't know that we really ever had questions posed to us that were not on the FAQ. People just needed a little clarification, a little discussion there. We also sent the information on the proposed schedule in the third quarter newsletter that went out on March 11th. I skipped the second parent council meeting. We met with the parent council in February. After the March 1st board meeting, we met with the parent council again on March 3rd. So I apologize for missing that in this process as well. And we went to the WLEA discussion, board teacher discussion, on Thursday, March 25th. So it's been an interesting and informative month. And again, it's just kind of a complex process and a complex discussion that with a lot of different variables. And we do think that this schedule is one that kind of provides the best of all possible combinations that we discussed really back at our first school day study committee meeting in March of 2020. And so to talk about some of the more specific items here with the schedule, Mr. Ulrich and Mrs. Sheffield will chime in. So thank you all.
Thanks. So on the screen is the proposed schedule that you saw in March. It remains the proposal that we placed before you this evening. On the next slide, Dr. Killian, we just kind of wanted to you know, re-emphasize what we believe the benefits to the new schedule are. But before I talk about the ones that you saw in March, since the March board meeting, it has come to our attention that a new graduation requirement that is in existence from the DOE called graduation pathways, we think this schedule is going to help our students meet some of the new requirements. And Mrs. Sheffield is going to fill you in on those before I finish up.
Very briefly, I want to talk about the graduation pathways. This is something that changed with the class of 2023, so that's our current sophomores. In case you didn't know, the ISTEP test has gone away as a graduation qualifier for these students. And so instead, they have to satisfy three categories. The first is to earn a diploma, just like they always have in the past. So there's credits and grades that they still have to earn. They have to get at least 40 for a core 40 diploma or 47 for the academic honors or technical honors diplomas. And all of the requirements that went along with that are still there. They have to take AP classes for some of those. They have to take world language for some of those. They have to take certain number of math credits, et cetera. So that has not changed. What has changed is because the ISTEP is going away, the state has said there have to be other ways that we can verify that these students are ready to go out into the real world. And so they've created these two other categories. One is called post-secondary ready competencies. And that just simply means that the student is ready to do something after high school, whether that's going out into the job market or going on to college. For the most part, that's going to be satisfied with either getting some kind of diploma, one of the honors diplomas, or taking AP tests or getting college credits. So again, a lot of our kids are going to satisfy those things pretty easily because of the diploma that they earn. But the third category is called employability skills. And so this requires that students show that they are able to go out, would be able to go out into the workplace and work as a team, or show up on time, or show up every day. And so the state has said that there are different things that a student can do through high school that would show that they have these employability skills. And that can be, it should be being a member of something. And so for a lot of our students, that's going to mean being a member of a club. And because of the new schedule, we will now have this designated time every morning at the start of school during which students can become members of clubs. This is not something that we've had designated in our schedule before, this particular club time. And so we may have had students who didn't understand or didn't see it as a priority, but now because it is something that potentially they're going to need to graduate, I like that it's in there because it emphasizes to the kids this is how important it is that you become a member of something. And for it to satisfy the state, it has to be for a significant amount of time. So it has to be for example, an entire school year. So if a student says, I want to join Spanish club, that's great, but they can't just go to a meeting every now and then. And again, if there were not a designated time during the day when they could do this, then it might be possible that they would have other things that would conflict, or they wouldn't understand how important it is, and they might not always come to those meetings. So now that it's built in during our school day, it's a chance for these kids to have significant membership in one of these groups and actually understand that it's important because it's going to be part of their graduation. Any questions about that portion?
I've got one.
Sure.
In general, I mean, you deal with students who are struggling in various different ways throughout the year. Do you, it's my perception that those who are engaged in something are generally doing better. Is that a fair assumption to make?
I think it is, yes. And I think probably there are studies out there that would show that too. I don't have any statistics or any definite, you know, data that backs that up, but I think that's true, yes.
Okay.
Any other questions?
And the factor, too, with the requirement of clubs or some level of participation for graduation is, it's going to cause a lot of schools to have to maneuver in the next 2 years to be able to
put. Yeah, and it's not just the membership, there's also the keeping track of it, so that's going to be an extra piece that people will have to, and again, with our having designated time during the day, I think that'll help our teachers who are those sponsors to maybe be able to, you know, keep attendance lists or however they're going to do it, but because they've got that time when we've said this is important, you have to do it, then it'll be nice for them.
When do they have opportunity now in the current schedule?
Currently?
Yes.
Clubs have the ones that have really, really tried hard to exist have been able to this year with COVID. But a lot of those students, a lot of those meetings are happening evenings. Yeah. I'm a student council sponsor, and every other Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. we have our meeting. You know, not everybody shows up because they can't. And it's a Zoom meeting. It's a virtual meeting. So that's just the way it's been this year. And I think that my club is probably the norm. We're not really having in-person club meetings this year.
In a normal environment, are most of them outside of the school day then?
Without COVID, you mean?
Yeah.
Without COVID, clubs would try to meet during the lunch period. Okay. But again,
is
you have
the requirement one club per year or one club over the course of high school, or what's the exact requirement?
The state is saying one club, one school year. So a student could join their freshman year because they just want to get it over with, and they would be done with that requirement.
Let's get a motion on the table, and we can continue with other. Tom, go ahead if you've got something.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll continue with questions or comments. You need a motion to accept the schedule as proposed?
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Austin.
Second.
Second by Mr. Shaw. Okay. All right, other questions or comments as we go? Other things?
Are you guys still covering benefits of the new plan? We didn't want to interrupt them. I just want to make sure they got through all the benefits.
Yeah.
Eric was going to cover the.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Eric. Yeah, by all means, Eric, please do. Please do. Yes. Good point.
So prior to COVID, West Lafayette schools had always exceeded the number of instructional minutes required by the state of Indiana. And the new schedule, the proposed schedule, would follow the same manner. We would continue to have students in class longer than is required by state law. We heard from the Strategic Plan Commission that the students of adolescent age are better starting school later in the morning. So that was something we were asked to look at. The proposed schedule allows for our students to start their day later. One of the things we talked about, because we needed to emphasize this club time, was to put a time period in the middle of the school day to have clubs. That would come at the expense of a class period. We didn't want to take away some of the outstanding elective opportunities that our students have available to them, so we were able to continue to have 7 full class periods every day. And then the equity piece is a big deal. Not just for kids who couldn't afford to go out to lunch, but it's also allowing kids to get academic support that they might not have been able to get before, because we didn't have a designated or set time where a student could meet with the teacher. They might be able to meet at lunch if they had the same lunch that the staff member had, But under this plan, all kids, regardless of how they get to school, will have the opportunity to meet with a teacher every day before school. And we think that's just the right thing to do, to make sure that all kids have the same opportunity. So the tutoring time is also part of that club time. So I don't want you to think that it's just clubs or it's just tutoring. Students are going to be able to access a variety of things during that designated time slot, which is longer than students had under the old 50-minute lunch schedule, because the club meetings would only exist the last 20 minutes of lunch. So we're actually adding 5 minutes of designated time for students. Several of our clubs are 7 to 12, and during the old system with two lunches, junior high kids couldn't meet with the high school kids. So club meetings had to have different times, and you could never have your entire club membership together. Now we can do that. We have a brand new outstanding media center that kids can come to access. A 5-minute passing period just doesn't give them enough time to do that. So if a kid takes 7 solid classes and doesn't have a study hall, they never get the chance to come in and use the technology and the resources that we have available to them. Now, with this time before school, they can come in and use that. And certainly, school safety is a big deal. No school safety specialist in America would say that allowing kids to leave campus in the middle of the day is a good idea. We've been fortunate and blessed to have a lot of upgrades and updates to school security in our corporation. It would be counterintuitive to continue to let kids leave at lunch. We cannot house all of our students in 2 lunch periods. We have to have at least 3. And so by doing 3 lunch periods, we can dedicate 1 for just the junior high kids, which is something we've lost in this COVID schedule. And it's going to increase the chance that high school students are going to still be able to eat with their peers. We're dropping from 3 high school lunches this year back down to 2. So your odds of meeting with someone that's a friend of yours will be there. And then the homeroom time is attached to lunch. The homeroom is actually a byproduct of the COVID schedule this year. It's a time where kids can just unplug from their day. We have staff members that take their students outside during the homeroom period. They're certainly allowed to study during that time. They're allowed to listen to music, just basically decompress from what the rest of their daily schedule has been like. And then one of the things that I really like most about this, being a former varsity coach, is that it's going to allow after-school activities to start earlier. So as a coach, my nights were very, very long, and I gave up a lot of time with my kids. This is going to get people home earlier in the evening, and I think we can't undersell the importance of family time. And so by having an earlier dismissal, practices will be able to start earlier in the evening. Students that need to work can get to school a little quicker without having to race across town, which is unsafe. So for these reasons, we would ask that you would consider accepting our proposal so that we can move forward and start planning for the next school year.
Mr. Ulrich, if you had a student who came into your office and was performing poorly in a class and needed tutoring, but had to ride a bus and parents could not afford a tutor, what would their options be?
Well, certainly we would have a variety of things. So hopefully they'd be able to meet with a teacher at school. This would be outside the school day. But in school, during contracted teacher time, they can meet with the teacher. One of the things that our school currently offers is tutoring with our National Honor Society students. Now we have a designated time block every morning where all the high school kids can be there to tutor because we're not worried about a lunch period that would be different, high school or junior high, or maybe even high school to high school. Kids aren't going to have to leave after school to go to work, so now there's another chance for them to work with students who need some tutoring. We think there's multiple options on the table for students who need a little bit of academic support.
So under the new schedule, will we have a tracking system to figure out who will come early for a club or for tutoring or tutoring other kids or who will come late? And so I wonder whether parents and the teachers will have some connection to figure out, whereabout of all the kids.
Sure, so clubs will have to take attendance because they're going to have to be able to meet the requirements that Mrs. Sheffield has talked about. But other than that, It's up to the individual family whether or not their student shows up on the bus, or whether they drop them off, or whether they come later in the morning. So there's not necessarily a, if you're not in a club, you would be able to do a variety of things at school, but there's not necessarily a check-in point for kids during that time.
Then how about the students who need extra help? And so will that be up to the students who decide, oh, I'm going to get help, or will teachers give suggestions to students, or, you know, I will suggest you to come early,
sure,
to get extra help, or contact their parents to make sure that will happen, or it's just totally up to their individual choice?
No, I would say that's always a two-way street, right? There's often times when teachers will reach out to families and say, so-and-so could use a little bit of extra help. I'm available every morning at this time. Students will have the confidence to know that if they get home and they get stuck in the middle of doing a homework assignment, okay, well, I don't know how to do this, but I know my teacher is going to be available tomorrow morning before I have to actually start classes, so I'll have a chance to go. I think our faculty communicates outstanding with students and with parents, so I don't see that being any type of issue or barricade from kids being able to get help.
Also, on the contract day, your contract 7:45 is when teachers will be to report,
correct,
and so they will be available, obviously, per contract at that point in time.
Correct.
And that's been embedded with WLEA, et cetera. It's been, I know, been an ongoing process. So
correct.
And there are many, many teachers that are there way before 7:45.
Oh, I understand.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think it'll prepare them for college, because I know when I was a freshman in college, I didn't understand that so-and-so had office hours, and that's when I was supposed to go ask my questions, so I just held on to my questions. And I think it'll, having that office hours period at the beginning of the day will be really good for them to get used to that, taking that initiative to go and ask if something gets them stuck in the evening. I also think the equity is such an important argument. I appreciate you taking the time to explain it to us in small groups. And it's something I hadn't thought of, honestly, as a mom whose kids aren't quite there yet. And so I appreciate that very much. And my daughter, we didn't write a letter, but my daughter is so excited to get into that library. I asked her about it today, and she's just can't wait. We're at home learning, and she saw it when we picked up pictures. And just, oh, wow.
Yeah, that's
gonna be great.
Other comments or questions?
Yeah, I'd like to say something. You know, traditionally over the years we've had an open campus where we've given students freedom for 50 minutes, and they've had to choose wisely or unwisely how they were going to spend that time. So essentially now we're shifting that responsibility to before school. So students will learn responsibility, and how are they going to program those 25 minutes every day of the week? Are they going to do it responsibly and join a club, or get some help, or use the library, or just come early and socialize with friends? There are a lot of options open to our students now for that time period.
I think one of the things too, I mean, in this, we understand there's been a lot of discussion, and that's an important part of this. Change is always difficult. I can remember the first years that I was on the board early on, this discussion about the closed campus portion of things, that came up at that time, though I'm a West Lafayette graduate from way back when, and we had open campus and we did things, there were some of us, Karen, that used our time wisely and some that may not. And so I think that the safety part is an extremely important part of this. And while it's not popular with everyone, I understand that. I do think that also the equity part of this too, is it gives, I mean, I was fortunate enough maybe to be able to hire tutors for our kids if they needed them, but not everybody can do that. And we were fortunate enough to be able to do that. And I think that's an important thing as we try to, you know, we talk about inclusion, And things of that nature here, we've got to be able to provide it to everybody, and that's an important part. Yeah, Rachel, go ahead.
I have one other question. What is the time frame that breakfast is served before school?
7:45-ish to 8 o'clock right now.
Yeah. Right now it's until 8:05.
Okay, so that gives them also students that need to come in, get breakfast quickly, and then go get help. They can do both of those things.
Absolutely.
In the proposed plan.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments?
I would like to appreciate all the time and you, Dan, and Shelby spend with me and meeting with me three times and to address all the feedback I collected from the community. I really appreciate that. I also appreciate that you put student interest first and take all the effort to improve safety and equity. And I really do appreciate all this. And sure, at the same time, I appreciate the community feedback and to actively provide feedback to about this schedule. And I always believe this involvement and the dedication to the children's education, you know, is a great asset in our community. And so after all those meetings, you address so many of my questions, and frankly speaking, right now I'm kind of convinced to give it a try. I kind of agree to give it a try, but at the same time, you know, there, you know, implementation is very critical, and you know, the plan can be great, but how it will work in reality will be another issue. And so like the tracking issue I just mentioned, I have been wondering, you know, how it will work, even though the idea is great. And so I wonder, you know, in reality, whether there will be a better system, for example, to scaffold those students to get the help, and rather than, okay, you know, if you need help, just come, but what if they don't? As a teacher myself, I always found that the students who need help actually don't actually seek help. So that's an issue. Another thing I talked to you and other administrators before is about possible modifications in the future. If there's anything that doesn't work, and we are still open to modifications, right? So that's something I got promised from you and from Dr.
Kim. There's not a program or a class or a process in the high school that's not constantly being reviewed and looked at, and we rely heavily on on the amazing staff that we have to provide great feedback to what's going on and where tweaks need to be made. So I have no reason to doubt that this or any other future endeavor at West Lafayette Community Schools would be any different than it has been in the past.
Right. Yeah. If there's anything kind of unexpected and like a negative impact, then we'll fix it in the future.
Sure.
That's one thing. Another thing is that, you know, there are so many expected positive impact on safety and equity, and I wonder whether we can collect data after the change, even from now probably, to get a baseline information, for example, how many students, not during the pandemic, before kind of participate in the club, and in the future, how many students actually are able to participate in the club, especially those low SES students, and how many students seek tutoring help, or how many students actually provide tutoring help. And I think all this information will be very helpful to evaluate this change and another kind of data we can collect is from teachers, students, and parents, and to see how they feel about new schedule, anything need to be modified, because, you know, there are always things that we may not be fully considered at this time.
Those are good points, but I think it's also incumbent on the administration and the board certainly to expect to have evaluation as an ongoing process here. But also, like you said, it's, you know, we know that this is going to be a change. It's going to be important to implement. Like Huey had said, we've got to have a way to measure that. And I think that's an expectation of everybody that's here that will be a big part of this as we look at things down the road. Nothing is forever. We understand that, and that would for me be a baseline for this is that we obviously will evaluate as time goes on. I mean, that has to happen.
I think it's important to note that this didn't have to be brought to the school board or to the public, that this was a extracurricular, that the administration can make those changes on its own, and that I appreciate your wanting the feedback and the the discussion about it, but in the end, I think it's important for us as a school board to support our administrators and know that you know far better than I do what's going to be best for our kids.
Certainly, a lot of great things about the school community, and certainly the support and love that parents have for their children is a key to being successful with all those kids.
This has been a process also that's been going on for a year. I mean, it certainly has come to a head over the last 2 months, but this process has been vetted for longer than that. Other comments or questions at this point? Okay. Anybody else? Any questions?
We will be looking closely at advertising our clubs to entice students to participate. The more we have participation, and to get to Rachel's question, if you go to the Department of U.S. Department of Education, there's wonderful research about, I think the last one I read, students are three times more likely to have a 3.0 or above average when they're involved in clubs and extracurricular activities than those who are not. So we're going to take attendance for clubs. We're going to, as I promised the WLEA, we're going to advertise and try to get more students to attend, and we will use next year as a baseline to see how many students are participating and figure out internally how we can do better to get more students to participate.
And I think another thing that's important, we certainly with the junior, senior high school teachers, is that we understand this is a big change, and this is not a layup and not universally embraced. We understand that and heard that, but we also appreciate the fact that it's something that you feel important enough to that it's important enough to endorse. So, other questions or comments? Rachel, anybody else? Okay. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, that motion carries 7-0. Thank you. Well, thank you for the explanations, etc. Okay, we'll move on now to academic achievement, innovation, school district application process, and Dr. Killian.
Thank you, Mr. Karpik. I want to briefly explain to the board the innovation school district proposal idea. There is money attached to this application. Last year, I believe the Department of Education had up to $22 million in grant money for innovation programs if you were an innovation school. So I've been contemplating how we can get some of the strategic planning done in a more efficient manner, being that we don't have a lot of extra staff to do some extra things. The idea is that I think there are some Indiana code requirements that we need to try to get waivers for, to give our teachers more time to teach rather than to test, etc. So I wanted to explain briefly the Innovation School District and the process that I'm proposing. So Indiana Code 2574 allows a school board to establish an innovation network school if it's approved by the State Board of Education that would possibly allow for waivers from certain Indiana Code requirements. Plus there are some funding possibilities for innovative programs. And so I think it's twofold in wanting to make sure that whatever we go after with the innovation process, that we also get funding to assist us with, because in my opinion, we can't do one without the other. So the questions I would have in the application process: can we get a decrease in standardized testing requirements? Can we add innovative academic programs? Can we expedite an early childhood program? Can we extend learning for students needing additional academic assistance? I think it'd be wonderful if we had several million dollars that we could offer before and after school tutoring with our certified staff to help students. And maybe there are things that we'll be able to accomplish through this process if we apply and get approval. So here's the proposed process and parameters. I made this very clear with our Teachers Association. We would sign a waiver or an MOU, I'm sorry, with the WLEA to maintain all teacher rights per Indiana Code, collective bargaining agreement, teacher discussion rights. We work very well with our Teachers Association, and We problem solve, and so I don't see anything in our collective bargaining agreement that would cause us any issues to be able to do some of the things that we would want to do. We would authorize the administration to hire an outside consultant associated or familiar with the Indiana Department of Education and the innovation school application process. This is very important because I think there are only two school districts in the state of Indiana that have been successful in getting the innovation school application approved. So it's nice to have expertise within this application process to be able to accomplish it, and someone who's very familiar with the State Board of Education. We wanted to allow waivers that would prevent us from offering new or innovative curriculum instructional offerings that can benefit more students. We would like to develop an application that focuses on reduced testing, adding early childhood education, aligns with our strategic plan and the other action steps that were developed by the Reimagining Committee, and implementing innovative curriculum instructional programs. We would collaborate with teacher, staff, administration, and development of the application and present the proposed application to the community. If and when it's all completed, we would do that in a community forum and to the board in a work session before submitting to the IDOE. We would give enough time to properly develop and what's that?
Cool. Six.
Sorry.
Okay.
It's my projector.
Okay, that's all right.
So what six says, give enough time to properly develop a year or more. So it probably would take a good year to at least develop, and maybe longer. We would apply as a public school. We would not apply as a charter school. This was specifically put in legislation back in 2014-15 time frame for charter schools. But you can also apply as a public school, and we would apply as a public school. Then we would present the application to the school board in a public meeting for consideration before submitting to the Indiana Department of Education. And I would lastly say that there would be a caveat to all of this, that if in the process we didn't see that there's any benefit, any waiver of testing requirements, or we couldn't get early childhood programming, or there were other innovative curriculum instructional programs that is a school district in collaboration with our teachers and staff administration we wanted to implement, we would know the administration would notify the school board and we would not make applications. So we want to make sure that it's beneficial to our school district. So that's the Innovation Network application process. You never know until you knock on the door and see what happens. And so I do think it's worthy of a discussion and pursuing, especially if there's money available for supporting those initiatives, and if we could get millions of dollars to help us in some of the things we want to do for our strategic plan. I mean, why not try it and see if we can do it?
So I need a motion, and this motion, to be clear, is just to begin the process of the application. Need a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Dr. Springer. Second. By Mr. Marley. Discussion or questions?
What's the first step? How do you start?
Well, the first step would be that the administration would go to the Indiana Department of Education or people formerly associated with the Department of Education and ask for referrals with regards to someone who's knowledgeable about the process, and talking with them and seeing if they would be a consultant for us for the coming school year, and then getting that consultant in place and then guiding the administration and helping us with making those application requests. There probably would be a gathering of data. There would be discussions with our teachers and our staff at all the buildings with regards to some of the things that each school wants to do with regards to helping students that might be academically behind, et cetera. And we would start putting together that process. And then what I would be doing in the fall, or an administrator would be doing in the fall, was giving the board general updates about the application process, getting good information from the IDOE consultant about timeline, what the possibilities are of waivers, and that sort of thing.
Rachel, go ahead.
I know we've been very focused on students who are struggling in different ways. Can you help me understand what advantages there might be to this process for a student who is high achieving?
Well, there could be opportunities for less seat time for students in high ability. You can get waivers about the 180-day rule. So there could be opportunities where students with high ability might not have to be in school the entire day and could be using their abilities in some other way out in the community. But you have to get a waiver from the 180-day rule and so many hours at the secondary level. And if we were to get those waivers, then we could maybe have some advanced programming outside of the school structure.
So this is really just, for me, I'm hearing you just say this is a lot about getting some flexibility.
Correct.
Okay, thank
That's
you.
That's exactly right. And that was partly the reimagining West Lafayette schools.
But right.
If we could do things, what can we do? And if you look at some of the costs associated with those action steps, very pricey items there. And so we have to be finding other resources to be able to accomplish some of those things, and this is one of the ways we could try.
I mean, in some ways, it's at least a, we'll find out, that the first chance to really look at some of the more, for lack of a better term, out-of-the-box ideas that have been talked about, at least in that committee, and has been somewhat of a focal point of Dr. Killian during his time here, in my view. Okay. Anybody else? You have anything else?
Will you have a partnership with Purdue increase our chance of getting this?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question.
I mean, will having a partnership with Purdue University increase our chance of the successful application?
Well, it depends on what the programming would be and whether or not Purdue School of Education would be interested. It would just be dependent upon a variety of things of how the application is structured and then whether or not the School of Education or any other school would be interested in partnering with us and then what the costs are to that partnership and then whether or not the funding would be available to establish that partnership. But that would be something we definitely would explore.
Okay, because it sounds like Purdue will be a great resource for us.
And they've had some of those discussions in years past on some of these types of items, maybe not the more of a formalized setting, but this may give us an opportunity, some structure to do some of that. Other questions or comments? Okay. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, we'll allow you, Rocky, to fill out an application, get that process at least looked at. Seclusion restraint policy, and Shelby, it's back to you.
The policy you have before you isn't new, so every year the IGB comes out with refreshers to their template that we have to make changes and publish. The only thing that's new in the policy from this year to next last year is the overview and then the training section. So I want to remind everybody that this isn't something that as a school corporation we've taken lightly. You guys have invested a lot of money and resources in training individuals. It was 3 years ago that we sent Tracy Holman to become a TCIS trainer. It was a huge expense. She came back to us, and now she's training individuals within our school to do this appropriately. So currently at the elementary school and the intermediate school, we have 13 individuals at each location that are fully trained. At the junior senior high school, we have 15. It's an ongoing process. It's a three-day training. After the three-day training, every 6 months, you have to have a refresher to keep your certification valid. Currently, this school year, we've had 4 instances that we've had to use this. In years past, obviously, it's been greater. COVID kind of has diminished all numbers. If we were to eventually develop our own self-contained ED classroom, these numbers would grow. Right now, I mean, our students that are in need of this intense support are serviced in LSC and TSC.
Okay, I need a motion to approve this policy, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Witt, second by Mr. Schott. So while your hand up. Questions or discussion, please? Okay. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Summer food program, and Mr. Sloat, the floor is yours.
Okay, we had this past year that USDA waivers made it possible to provide free breakfast and lunch to all students, regardless of any income threshold and so on. They've extended this waiver now throughout the summer. We've talked to Courtney Fitzsimmons, our food service director. She's recommending that we continue this program now through the summer. What it would be, we'd offer weekly meal packages, 5 breakfasts and 5 lunches to anyone in the community 18 years or younger. Pickup would be on Mondays from 3:45 to 5:15 p.m. at the West Lafayette Elementary School. In addition to the weekly meal packages, we'd provide daily combination of breakfast, lunches, and snacks to 3 student camps, Safe Harbor, Hannah Center, and Lafayette Area Ministries. We'd run this from June 7th through July 30th. So we would have, and you can see on the form, the reimbursement amount that we get for breakfast and the other meals, and that would cover our costs and our overhead and have, you know, some profit out of the program. So we'd recommend you consider this, that we would continue this through this summer only.
Need a motion, please?
Second.
Moved by Mrs. Austin, second by Mr. Marley. Discussion, questions? It's a good program, it's helpful in these times especially. Other questions, comments? Okay, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. All right, let's go on to item 9, which is the 2021-2022 tuition rates, and Mr. Ohlhaupt, what is yours?
Thank you very much. Each year we ask the board's approval for the tuition transfer rates for any individual students who may be transferring into our school corporation. There actually are not that many. Right now we have 2 active students to whom this would apply. We're proposing rates at the K-6 level of $2,300 and the 7-12 level of $2,900. And this calculation is actually based on a state-approved calculation that applies to intercorporation transfers, of which we have a number with TSC, minus our state tuition support, plus a small anticipated increase in that amount that we can't know until after the fact what that'll actually be. But these figures are consistent with the calculations that we made. Something called the Form 515 for the 1920 school year.
Okay. Motion, please.
So moved.
Moved by Dr. Springer.
Second.
Second by Mr. Schott. And Steve, I appreciated you taking the time to send me those facts and figures over two people, but I appreciate it very much. Questions, comments? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Continuing disclosure, and go back to Ross.
Okay, the outstanding bonds that we have are subject to the continuing disclosure requirements under agreements that are required by the federal securities laws when we executed the bonds. In 2020, Baker Tilly filed the necessary disclosures, and we're asking again for approval for Baker Tilly to file these disclosures with appropriate agencies for the 21 calendar year.
Need a motion, please? Moved by Mrs. Austin.
Second.
Second by Mr. Marley. Don't hesitate to put your hand up if I don't, just because I'm looking down here. If I'm not hearing you, I apologize. Discussion? Question? Standard here, but okay. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Move on to extending employee quarantine coverage, and Mr. Ohlhaupt, back to you.
Thank you. On January 4th, at the January 4th school board meeting,
The Board of Trustees approved an extension of the leave provisions of the Families First Coronavirus Relief Act until March 31st of this year, at which point the FFCRA provisions expired in federal law. Under the American Rescue Act of 2021, these provisions were extended further on a voluntary basis, that is, voluntary to the corporation, until September 30th, 2021. So, and as of April 1st, there were a few additional reasons under the FFCRA for leave that had been added around COVID vaccination. So the administration is recommending that the board adopt these provisions on a voluntary basis until September 30th, 2021. So this essentially continues our staff leave policy related to COVID quarantining.
Motion, please.
So moved.
Mrs. Witt. Second by Mrs. Austin. Discussion. I appreciate the fact that, again, during this unbelievably difficult time that we're trying to do it the right way. Yes, not easy and not financially easy, I understand. Important, still the same. Questions, comments? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, April, that motion does carry. We'll move on to emergency authorization to hire, and Dr. Killian.
Each time this year, the administration recommends the board's approval to allow the administration to have authorization to emergency hire, especially as we head into the summertime. And if people resign, retire, we want to be able to quickly move and look for qualified candidates so that we can be nimble in making sure that we have staff positions filled for the 21-22 school year.
Okay, need a motion, please?
So moved.
Moved by Dr. Slayer.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Austin. Discussion, questions, comments? I mean, again, this is an important. You do a good job of letting us know when it's important for us to know specific things when it comes to this, but it's something we've all approved every year that I've been around. Other questions, comments? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Extracurricular activities, donation, and Dr. Killian, it's yours.
We have three checks going to our athletic department, and we're appreciative of the $1,000 donations by three groups, and so I'm recommending that you accept these funds so that well, they can be applied to the extracurricular athletics.
Okay. In motion, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Witt, second by Mr. Schott. Discussion? That won't be much. Yui, go ahead.
Yeah, I noticed that we frequently have donations from the community. I wonder whether we can have a place where we can record all those donations as a way to appreciate those donations at the same time to encourage more.
You're talking about recognition for the donations
in
public recognition?
So kind of a website or something to...
Well, there's two things. One, sometimes the donors don't want to be recognized, and so if it's a confidential donation, we have to check for that. Two, our office is very good at sending them a thank you, and I can make that request to see if they want to make their donation public.
We often do when those types of donations, we will make them, but they're specifically asked to do so, we will make them public, but it's a good time.
Yep.
Okay, other questions, comments? Okay, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 And opposed? Hearing none, we'll accept the donation. Personnel report, Dr. Killian.
Recommend your approval of everything listed under the personnel report.
Okay. Need a motion, please?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Marley, second by Mrs. Witt. Discussion or comments? Personnel. Seen that in advance. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Accounts payable and Back to you, Mr. Lamont.
Thank you. This month, the accounts payable include net payroll $929,930.76. Payroll deductions paid in March of $439,679.52. Other claims of $2,109,081.98. WEVEC claims of $106,452.98. Again, WEVEC is a separate entity for which we are the educational representative. Construction projects claims of $256,402.27 for a total of $3,841,607.51. A few items of note, we had a voucher 2049 was the Anthem for $783,000 plus, and this was actually 3 months worth of insurance claims. They were all billed at the same time. So we also had voucher 2861, which is a quarterly payment to Glass in the amount of $106,095. We had one of 10 city bus payments for $14,845. We had EDF, you'll notice that amount of $57,000 was an unusually high natural gas bill, owing largely to the events in Texas in the middle of February, which resulted in higher usage and unfortunately a spike in prices of natural gas. And we also had a Henriot Group, this is voucher 2968, and that's our payment on the property and casualty insurance.
Okay, all right, I need a motion to accept to pay our bills and accounts payable, please. Moved by Mrs. Austin. Need a second?
Second.
Second by Dr. Springer. Questions or comments? Okay, all in favor of that motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Move on to information of the board. I have nothing additional. We'll start, we'll go around the horn for any board and superintendent reports. Rachel, you're up.
The DEI committee met twice since the last meeting, and we meet again tomorrow. I've really been working on foundational training types of things for the most part, and also coming up with some common definitions. So I expect that process will start to become a lot more, shall we say, animated over the next few meetings. I think we're starting to move into the meat of the matter, so I'm looking forward to that. And I'll give updates.
Okay.
Sure. Foundation did not meet in March.
The communications committee also has not yet met in person, but I am looking forward to it, and I have more than a few ideas for school board communications and how we can be more transparent and correct some misapprehensions that might be going wrong with the patrons. So I look forward to meeting with you shortly.
Okay. You anything in your
end? Yeah, I participated in the teacher discussion meeting, and many of the agendas actually were presented today here. And the public school foundation meeting will be tomorrow.
And we'll get together on the communications front as well. Dr. Springer, go ahead.
From Park Board, construction on the Kaysen Family Park is beginning, and the anticipated completion date is next spring, 2022. So, new park in West Lafayette. Shelter reservations are open, and the West Lafayette Farmers Market at Cumberland Park will open on Wednesday, May 5th, and run throughout the summer on Wednesdays from 3:30 to 7 p.m. Attended the March Board Teacher Discussion Meeting. Quarterly Glass meeting will be next week. And I just wanted to extend appreciation to Dr. Killian and the LSC TSC superintendents and their respective special ed directors, for us, Shelby Johnson, and then all the business managers, and for us, Ross Sloat, incredible amount of work that has gone into and continues to go into the GLASS decentralization. So it's an important, time-consuming process, but the end result will be greater ownership of the education of each corporation's special ed students within their own corporation. So I'm appreciative of that.
RDC. All right, so we had a special meeting on 3/24. We are entering into build, operate, transfer agreements on three different projects: Salisbury and Grant Street improvement, Chauncey Avenue, or Chauncey Plaza, I should say, and Case and Park. That's about $9.4 million in new build, operate, transfer agreements that'll have a certain amount of debt. Most of it will be eliminated in a very short period of time, but those are nice additions to our community. Yeager Road reconstruction, we took bids for that. Challenger Avenue extension, we took bids for that, and that's about it. Look for a bunch of equipment rolling around town.
Yeah. I think I would add also, I know that we have a newsletter that'll be going out here the next day or two, I believe. And just the back cover, I think Dr. Killian has put together a list of thank yous of all the people that have made such a big difference, and many of you are in this room, certainly our teachers and our parents and folks that have really made, as I've said this before, but during the course of this year, an extraordinary year. Some of it's been our best, some of it's been our most challenging, certainly, but we're grateful, and I'll speak as one member of the board for all that work that's been done, and that thank you will, I'm sure, continue throughout the rest of this academic year. Okay. Communications from the audience. Aaron Moonwalker, the floor is yours.
Do I need to state my
name? Yeah, if you would, just your name and your name and your address.
So my name is Aaron Moonwalker, and I reside at 1147 Hillcrest Road, West Lafayette, Indiana.
Oh, yours. Yeah, go ahead. Okay. I'm sorry.
I have had numerous discussions with community members and parents who feel that the school board and administration are out of touch and do not appropriately respond to concerns, instead prioritizing the administration's agenda and desires. I'm particularly worried about what seems like outsized influence staff and administration have in our district, especially since a whopping 96% of staff are white, unlike half of our parents and students. Parents have had to generate survey after survey out of need to assess community desires. In the most recent survey, it looked like only 3% of students and 9% of parents discovered the proposed changes through the board or staff. And no one outside the school board and administration could have known from the board's agenda that this issue was even being addressed last month. It only said junior, senior high school presentation. And frankly, hearing one board member call for more data and another board member counter that saying, we didn't even have to do as much as we did, is the reason why I'm here tonight. So I look at these surveys and say, if this is how communication is going for parents currently participating in the district, how is it going for citizens in general? For these reasons, I found the board's president's comment at the January meeting very troubling. He said, and I quote, "You know, our role as a board is not to be a representative body. It is a subtle distinction, but we are charged to respond to administrative concerns, needs, and initiatives, to set policy, but not to enact law," end quote. However, this seems to contradict the district's policy. In the board's bylaws, policy 0123, philosophy of the board, paragraph 4, and line C, it states, quote, "The board declares and thereby reaffirms its intent to act as a truly representative body for citizens in all matters related to programs and operations," end quote. A prior section of this policy notes, quote, "The board has an obligation to meet, determine, and assess citizen desires." It says nothing in your policy about administrative concerns, in your philosophy, excuse me. I'll be submitting four questions, if I may. Including number one, what steps do you take to initiate contact with citizens to meet, determine, and assess their concerns? If a group, number two, if a group of citizens requests a meeting with one or more board members, Under what conditions would this request be granted? And number three, have you ever asked the district's attorney to meet with citizens when discussing concerns? And during those instances, did you invite the citizens to bring along their own attorney if they so desired? Number four, final question. Could requiring the attorney's presence to discuss citizen concerns have a chilling effect on the citizens' expression of their concerns? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. Move on to our future meetings, which will be, our next meeting will be Monday, May 3rd at 6:30 p.m. At this location. And I need a motion for adjournment.
Moved.
Moved by Mr. Marley, second by Mrs. Austin. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion carries. Thank you, and we are adjourned. We have some things we need to sign before we go, but appreciate it. Again.